Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Jane Hoffman. The question is, Mara Liasson from National Public Radio said, the Democratic Party has a tendency to form a circle and a firing squad against each other. We're talking tonight about Donna Brazile's new book called Hack, in which she talks about how she couldn't control the Democratic purse strings. As the DNC chair, she didn't feel free enough to write checks for the obligations and places where they were needed. She had been the vice chair of the DNC for 8 years before taking on the chair. She was hacked by the Russians. She got death threats, and she took no salary or had no salary. And she was frustrated, so she wrote a book. Donna Brazile told ABC that she was concerned about the level of the control the Clinton campaign could exert by financing the DNC's operations through a joint fundraising agreement. Brazil didn't suggest a separate memorandum of understanding with the DNC that allowed the campaign influence over financial, strategic, and operational use of the funds for the general election expenditures, which she considered illegal. Now, I just want to read, I see Don on the line, and I'm going to read two more sentences. Democrats are known to be a party that picks at the self-inflicted wounds and gets in a circle when it's time to form a firing squad. So here's what the Democratic optimists think and hope will happen. This was written in 2015, by the way. Once Clinton herself addresses the email matter, she may have a satisfactory explanation. The fact that foreign governments have been giving to the Clinton Foundation has been disclosed by the foundation itself for years. Almost all donations were annual installments of pledges made before she was Secretary of State. One donation, $500,000 from Algeria for Haitian earthquake relief, was not. Clinton has a lot to deal with now that it's 2 years later. How is the Democratic Party measuring up to the Republican Party? With no central leader except for potentially Biden, Pelosi, and Feinstein, who's about to retire, what's the picture for 2020? Good evening, Dawn. How are you doing?
Hi, Jane. Hello, everyone.
You're the only one on the line so far.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
Did you hear my intro?
Yes, I did. I just heard the Donald Brazil part of it, or where she is.
She couldn't control the purse strings. Supposedly Hillary's campaign was running the financing, and there was an unspoken agreement, which kind of eliminated any chance for Bernie Sanders to ever get the nomination.
Right. Well, that's what I've been up against with the party. We have, you know, we have exactly what's happening there with Donna Brazil, the DNC happening all over the country. We have minority people who are fit. They're ready. They're knowledgeable, and they've got the experience, and they don't have the opportunity. We don't, because I've been in this situation before myself, where we don't have an opportunity to really partake in all the parts of the process. That's one of the problems that I've been trying to bring up, is that we do have the experience, the knowledge, the know-how, and we need to be able to help the party. And they don't, show disdain when minorities, I notice especially African Americans, try to help.
Right, have you ever met Donna Brazil?
No, I've never met her. I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen her, but I don't think I have. It would
That's
be a pleasure, though, if I had enough.
I really like, I don't know what I feel about this, but I really like her. I think she has a level head on her, and she's a excellent person, and she was talking about how she did things out of her own expense. Like, she just went and endorsed someone who's running for a Virginia race out of her own pocket, and I don't think she's really trying to blackball anybody. I think she's just trying to tell her side of the story, and like she said on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos, why can't she tell her truth and everybody else can tell theirs?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. This is kind of a sensitive area for me, only because all of my rants and raves and testimonies that I've been giving on this show and others when in my speaking engagements, people are finally understanding some of the things that I've been trying to say. You know, this desire to give up power, it's centralized, it's individualized, and it really can gum up the works when you're asking many people for basically for free to do yeoman's work for other people who they know don't
care
about
them. Which is one thing
them.
You do.
That's what I do. And I know that I get very little credit. The show, as I mentioned, some of my outreach is my outlet for being able to educate the public on what has really been happening pretty much, as I said, since day one, 400 years ago. We've had to listen. Everybody has a boss, and except for me. And we've had to listen to these people tell us primarily what to do and what we should stay away from, keep our nose out of their big boy business. The unfortunate thing is that nothing is sustainable. Everything changes. So when this type of activity comes out, we're looking at the fact that there is no help that we can offer. There is only sympathy and pity for the people who pass up on indescribable amounts of money, knowledge, and ethic, sweat, capability. We're really just trying to, we're eating ourselves up from the inside out because we're not taking advantage of healthy situations, relationships, possibilities.
Right,
so this,
Ben,
down
the line, I do want you to talk about your local party politic experience. I just want to mention two more things. Ben, I'll pull you in after I give you a brief introduction. Donna Brazile has been on the news a lot with her book called Hack, how she felt stressed that she couldn't control the purse strings of the DNC, how the Hillary campaign with their money interloped and they kind of ran the show, and how Bernie didn't stand a Chinaman's chance in hell in getting nominated. Now, Democrats are known to be a party that picks at self-inflicted wounds and gets a circle when it's time to form a firing squad, and sometimes they turn the guns on themselves. Now, I just looked up Donna Brazile's Twitter account, and she has a lot of really good information on here. She said the GOP campaigns took $7.35 million from a Russian oligarch. And there's also a Russian billionaire named Yuri Milner who somehow got his fingers into the Silicon Valley. And he had all these types of investments that were shady. Now, we're pretty much focusing on the Democratic Party's flaws tonight. But I did want to mention in all other top news this week that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, has paid over $300,000 in legal fees for President Trump and his son. Alan Butterfoss and the law firm of William and Jensen have gotten approximately $166,000 in legal fees billed to the RNC for Donald Trump's faux pas. With that, I'll bring Ben in to see what he has on his mind. Good evening.
Good evening. How's it going?
Good. So the main question is, are both major two parties as blanked up as we think? And are they all going to shoot themselves in the foot and implode?
Well, I usually try to say that you can't define a group by bad individuals. But as far as the agenda from the left and the way that things have been covered up and now they're being forced to be exposed because it's actually the left that's turning on itself.
Well,
so I think the left is a little worse.
Mara Liasson from NPR said she's the one who made that comment that they pick up their self-inflicted wounds and get in a circle to form a firing squad. I thought that was pretty profound. But I guess I've always admired Donna Brazile. She's been an even-keel type person. She kind of reminds me of that black lady who was on the public television on Friday nights. I forgot what the name of the show is. But anyways, I just think she put a book out and she knows it's going to create controversy, but she felt like it was her purpose to tell the truth. Maybe to clean things up for next time,
well,
you know? It's not like anything
well,
bad has
is,
to come from it.
Of course she's afraid for her life because she knows what happened to Seth Rich and what's his name? The other guy, Seth Rich and...
I know who you're talking about. I just can't remember.
Yeah, well, she knows what happened. She knows that the Podestas and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton were basically, if you go against them, you're dead. And if this would have worked, if she would have gave the questions and that would have been the reason why Hillary won, she would have been in the clear. But now she's going to get offed, and she knew it, so she told the truth. And so that's kind of like after you did something wrong and you're caught, you tell the truth. So I don't give her that much credit. If she would have told the truth when it happened, I would have given her a whole lot more credit, but then she probably would have been murdered.
Well, I mean, I feel like we don't know what the future brings and no one can control it, but everybody has a right to write a book about what they know is right. And she's no exception, you know. And she served at the DNC for at least 10 years, including under the Obama administration, and she's done her time. So I kind of believe her.
Oh, yeah, I believe her. But how come last year, talking about this, they were crazy conspiracy people. I knew all about this last year, but the left didn't want to accept it last year. Now that it's coming from the left, everybody has to know that it's a fact.
Right.
Right?
I was trying to find the other person who died besides Seth Rich, but I couldn't. The reason Seth Rich died is because he leaked 44,000 DNC emails to WikiLeaks. He was shot in the back at 4:13 in the morning, and no one took anything in, like, his wallet.
Right. Yeah, and Podesta has the coinciding emails about getting rid of the leaker. So that's pretty much proof right there. So I don't know what's taking so long. These people are still running around guilty as hell, and everybody knows it.
That's pretty bad. I don't want to think of the Clintons as a murderer.
Well, it's time to start opening your mind up to that.
Well, did it come from the top, the order?
Yeah. It came from Podesta, literally. Literally, he made a comment about taking care of the leaker. And the next thing you know, the two DNC workers were dead. And then the Russia narrative started. So they actually had this Russia plan narrative about collusion when it's come out that the only collusion was the Democratic Party colluding with Russia with the Uranium One. So,
can I read something? Don, are you still there? I want to read this timeline to you guys. I want to read. Okay, everyone, just listen for a minute. Here's an overview of the timeline from July of 2016. July 2nd, Hillary Clinton meets with the FBI to answer questions about private email server. July 5th, FBI Director James Comey says Clinton was careless in handling the email. July 6th, commentator and author Peter Schweitzer says Clinton's campaign is over. On the same day, Attorney General Loretta Lynch says Clinton won't be charged. July 7th, Comey tells Congress DOJ will prosecute in some cases, such as Petraeus' case. Same day, State Department reopens email server investigation. July 10th, Seth Rich dies. July 16th, Donald Trump picks Mike Pence as VP, locking up support of a block of Christian evangelicals. July 22nd, WikiLeaks dumps the DNC emails into the public. Late July, FBI starts investigating Trump campaign for links to Russia. July 29th, court filing shows FBI turned over thousands of documents to the State Department as part of the email investigation. July 30th, Clinton goes on Fox to brag that Comey believes her to be truthful and what I've said is consistent with what I have told the American people. Washington Post fact checkers give her 4 Pinocchios for the statement. So do you think
generous.
The Russian thing is a diversion, or do you think somebody is really guilty?
What do you mean? What Russia thing?
Well, I mean, was the Russian investigation necessary? And even if they did influence our election, who did they influence, and how did it persuade a voter with all the twisted media advertising they did it like on the side of Facebook?
That didn't influence anybody. I don't know who that would have influenced. Ads? Really? Or fake Facebook accounts?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole narrative got destroyed as soon as they found out that it was all a lie. I don't know how much money we've spent on Mueller's investigation, but it's like he was brought in to look at the wrong side of things, and now all this other stuff is coming out around the sides.
Well, I just think I think it's kind of a pity that the RNC has shelled out $300,000 to save Trump's family. I mean, that just seems kind of ridiculous.
Don't you think it's a little, don't you think that if Trump was being accused of all this stuff, that their lawyers would be digging and trying to find the actual story? That probably explains why we actually, the public is getting to know about this uranium deal. Trump's lawyers would
right.
have to actually say, hey, no, here's the real collusion. Why would you point it at him? And there's actual
right.
victims here,
I do wanna,
American victims.
Yeah, I don't really have the uranium deal on my mind, and we are going to talk about the Texas killing today. But when I was reading this article, you guys, about the timeline, WikiLeaks posted a Podesta statement that said, I'm definitely for making an example of a suspected leaker, whether or not we have any real basis for it. Do you think that's a death threat?
I mean, did it work?
You know, I think killing someone is a little extreme. This guy wasn't. I think it's terrible, actually.
All right. Well,
so,
you choose the people you want to run your campaign, and look at how he ties to everything. The Podesta group, even if the brothers don't like each other, they're tied to just about everything.
My question is Don's kind of faded into the backdrop. I don't know if, Don, are you Ubering tonight?
Hey, guys. Huh. I'm just kind of listening.
Hey, Don.
What do you do?
Yeah.
What
hey,
exactly
man.
Are you doing?
Oh, me? I'm just getting ready to get out. Maybe to Uber in about an hour for about 2 or 3 hours. I'm just listening.
Okay,
because,
well, we can do a 60-minute show tonight. Just
well, that it doesn't matter because I'm just listening to what you guys are saying. It's you know a show is for conjecture.
We don't have a strong topic tonight except for the Texas shooting, and I had a crisis at work this week and I was unable to really pull more together than what I am right now.
That's all right, no problem. This, like I said, I know, you know, Ben was right. You know, Donna Brazile could easily have feared for her life. We're looking at people who are known to kill. We've got the Clintons, you know, our Harry Reid, if you ever saw him in some of the speeches, of course, he even was not as feisty and as he normally is. When he had some of his national speeches that backed up the Clinton regime, you could tell that he wasn't. But I'm in the middle of all this, so you know, that's why I say conjecture is good for the show. I pretty much know what's going on. So it's, you know, this is not fake news. This is something that's been going on for a while. This is the first time that the Clintons or any one individual trust took over the entire committee. So we're talking about the fact that everyone, where I'm in limbo right now, trying to figure out where to go. I've been having, we've been having meetings, Democratic Washoe County meetings in the last 2 days. And we've been trying to figure out where, what we need. We've got people who are saying what you're saying, John, Jane, which is like a whole bunch of nothing. And then we're trying to figure out how to fit in the important things with the party. It's a party thing we have here in Nevada, a huge, this will be a world-changing situation with our elections, where, and Ben knows what I'm talking about, where we'll give up the caucus system and go straight to primaries. That means that we won't be third in voting in the country, probably, anymore. So we've got
well, right, and there's
millions of dollars, but we'll have an opportunity to.
Are you talking about the popular vote legislation that's kind of sweeping? They have 60 more areas to take over.
No, we're just talking about state. This is the intermediate point between our current system and the system that you just mentioned, the popular primary. And so that's where everybody is in the hat on one day. And what you're mentioning is one day, and then you've got for the first one, two, three, you've got three choices, and you'll be able to order them. They'll be voting commission will be able to order them, and whoever is first takes first, et cetera, et cetera. So, but no, that's the ultimate. It's kind of like pay, you know, the medical universal pay. So but we're in the middle of from what we had to that. So we're looking at just getting rid of our caucuses and then having the primaries, and that would make it a lot more streamlined. Believe me, I'm a caucus precinct co-chair and all kinds of other things on the Democratic Platform Committee in Nevada. So, you know, I'm involved in everything, on all of it. And, you know, as I said,
well,
it's messed up, but it's our identity.
Have you noticed, Don, I've seen a huge upswing in vocal black conservatives. I mean, there's new, you know, 100 more a day that are coming out, starting their own podcasts and stuff. I'm like, this is great. I mean, people are like saying no to the narrative.
So,
I think,
well, Ben,
if you should open up the, you know, make it easier to be with you.
Because
you're going to miss the bandwagon, man.
Who, me? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'll have my own party. I'm developing my own party. You're not getting it. It'll probably be the Gallimore family, G Fusion party, or something like that. But no, I'm developing my own party. This is all. What's happening is that those conservatives that you're talking about that are finally opening up or whatever, they're forcing their way through. That's what this is all about. There is no more oppressive leadership rule. This is going to, you know, soon it'll be our show, and it's everybody's got to get ready for it. So to make it, you know, the cushion softer for whomever, the new minority majority, you know, to make that cushion safer and softer, we have to start the framework now, the foundation. That's going to be where the conservatives who believe in this country, who believe in this system in a lot of ways, know that we do need immigration reform. We do need tax reform. We do need medical reform. We do need legal and reentry reform. We do need social justice reform. We do.
Social justice reform. That's, I don't agree.
I told you guys that Donald Trump was going to win way back in the doggone October of last year. So I don't know what everybody was tripping about.
You told us in August.
Okay, I told you in August. Yeah, a year ago.
Right.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to one of those.
You will.
I found one of the episodes where he did say it. I'll have to play it next week. I'm not going to dig it up now while I'm in the staff basement. But listen, guys. Well, I think, I don't know how much longer I want to talk about the corruption of the DNC, but I do want to talk about this Yuri, this Russian guy who had sneaky investments in Facebook and Twitter. And Ben, do you have anything on your mind?
Oh, no, I'll go with whatever.
Okay, and by the way, John Yoder, you guys, he quit his dog job, and he got a good night's sleep last night, but I still don't know if he's able to call in tonight. He's probably regrouping. After working 3 years straight, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Well, I just picked up a side job, so I'm going to have a lot of late nights coming up.
You really? What's your side job?
I got in with a real estate agent to do the, turnover houses.
Oh, good. And is it how many nights a week?
Well, it's per job, so I'm going to do this first one. It's about a week worth of work, and I have to have it done before next Monday. So I'm going to have to go there every. I'll go there every evening. I'll just go from one job to that place every night, and then I'll work Sunday on it.
That sounds good. Because
on Saturday, I've got another job out of town that I'm doing, too, on Saturday. And
you sound pretty pressured. Actually, John's not the only one who has a major work change. I'm quitting my group home job, and then I'm going on call, which means I won't have set hours. I can just pick up hours whenever I want.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and then I'll keep my school job, which is only 4 hours a day. Now, what I wanted to confirm, Don, what you just said about major policy changes in America, you're right. It's hard to see how much will be accomplished in the next 3 years, but I don't think Trump's going to accomplish even half of those policy goals you just stated. But I'm jumping to a new topic now.
It's only because of himself. He can't get out of his own way. If he lets the other people around him do their jobs, they will get a lot farther. They've got most of these, a lot of these judges already appointed. That's one of my big things, the federal judge ships that were open. And then he's also got, he's still got his immigration policy or the seven nations that are not eligible for any kind of travel, the travel ban, that's still in the court system. So we need to get rid of that because everybody's an immigrant, and except blacks and Indians. So we're, Hispanics too, so Mexicans too. So everybody's, only the white man's an immigrant.
Well, some people are second and third generation Americans. And even four.
Well, I
right.
think that's.
But you,
I think
but
that's putting too hard of a line.
You
that's putting
you
way too hard of a line on it. a lot of the Indians that were here were immigrants too. So if you, it just depends on the time frame that you look at. How far back do you want to go? Because at one point there was battles between Indian tribes where one tribe killed off another tribe completely. So if you want to talk about timeline, that's the only relevance to what you said. We're all immigrants. We've all migrated as far back as you can tell. You can't really pinpoint where you're from. Nobody.
Exactly. So for the most part, we need to make sure that we treat everybody in the world globally with some respect. That's it. That's all.
Oh, by the way,
exactly.
Albert
but
just
if you,
called in. Go
if
ahead.
You, if you're
sorry.
Familiar with Moore's Law, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Moore's Law, but it describes things pounding over and over. Like, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but they said to explain Moore's Law, you look at a VW bug. If a VW bug... If you try to look at Moore's Law by itself, that VW bug today would get hundreds of thousands of miles per gallon. It would go hundreds of thousands of miles per hour, and it would only cost 4 cents. So that's just an example of how things progress under Moore's Law. And with immigration, we have
so much
technology
now. What is Moore's Law?
It's a mathematical thing that it actually relates to technology and things that improve the progression of things. It's like math, and it's true in just about every theory.
It's like where we should
what
be
about?
If things were Jane. It's like what it's
yeah.
like what where we should be if everything were perfect and equal. We should be at a Volkswagen or any type of industry where we would have maximum output with minimum input.
It's basically the rate of improvement. It's a calculated rate of improvement, and that means with anything. But Moore's Law it applies all over the place, and it's competing with itself. Just like how a disease is faster than a cure, but
it
kind of
reminds me of the second law. Oh, go ahead.
But you can apply Moore's Law to everything, whether it's the economy or cell phones, computers, technology, people, immigration. Our enemies and us are always it's the Moore's Law theory. Every time we progress on something, our enemies progress on something. So immigration is really difficult to deal with right now.
Interesting. Not to mention the fact that people just up and kill somebody every day for some are homegrown foreigner previously from foreign families. Some are just homegrown Americans. I am going to pull Albert in after I read this definition. Entropy, which is the second law of thermodynamics, states that total entropy can never decrease over time for an isolated system. That is, in a system which neither energy nor matter can enter nor leave. The total entropy can remain constant in ideal cases in a steady state of equilibrium, undergoing a reversible process. Well, anyways, what entropy means is that eventually everything falls apart.
Right, and the
No. Unless you forgot the part that you just read. Unless it has a same cyclical environment. That was part of what you just
right.
said. It can, if you have a vacuum... And you have something that is gyrating. You can virtually gyrate forever, and that's in
the way
you know,
that the definition
it's
I read didn't make sense to me.
It's the same thing as the Moore's Law.
But
it's almost this is what you just read.
Okay, well that's why I thought of it because I had a book about it in college. And I'll try to read up on it. I'm going to pull Albert in. Good evening, Albert. We've already covered Donna Brazile's new book, Slamming the DNC, how the Republican Party spent $300,000 on legal bills for Trump and Trump Jr., and now we're in some kind of weird science discussion.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I was heard Moore's Law and stuff like that. I was going to mention also Pandora's Box and so-and-so, but, yeah, I mean, it's you know, this, I mean, you go on for an hour and hours on those things.
Right.
That's true. I don't
need
to go on for hours. I was just tying it to one thing.
Well, the political party system is going to implode.
I don't think
and,
so.
And maybe
every,
the law...
Hey, Albert. Hi, Albert. Everything implodes or explodes. Everything.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read one more definition. Entropy means the lack of order or the lack of order or predictability, a gradual decline into disorder. The physics definition is a thermodynamic quantity representing the unavailability of a system's thermal energy for conversion into mechanical work, often interpreted as the degree of disorder or randomness in the system. In other words, some things cannot be converted into a smooth transition. They decline, they degrade, they decompose. So that's pretty much the state of our nation right now.
You know, I was looking up something on the internet, all right? And, you know, of course, you know, we're just, there's like, I don't know, like 7-something billion people on Earth or something like that, you know, and still counting. And although the population is increasing, but the increasing of the population is declining, and part of due mostly the Western women, there was a study that showed that 80% of the top Western women date 20% of the top men. So basically 80% of the women go after 20% of the men. And so but this is what they saw.
And do the men decompose?
Well, here's what they saw. 80% of the women managed to reproduce, and only 40% of the men managed to reproduce, which is 60% of the Western men, their bloodline ended, you know, it completely ended. They didn't manage to reproduce. So, you know, only 40% of the men are reproducing. And 80%.
Oh,
basically, what's your point?
Yeah. Well, it's just a study that shows
he's got
that,
a great point. Those are great points.
80% of women,
right.
You know, go after 20% of the men, and it's a culture, and there's a Western culture that has been going on for quite a while and has been overlooked many times, and I think.
Right. If I understand your numbers correct, that's saying that the chances of a bloodline being carried by a woman are higher than a bloodline being carried by a man.
Yes.
Well, I guess that makes sense, because now the patriarchy systems have been changed. Like
there are millions of single women.
The
out
royal
there,
family. The royal families that were preserved with inbreeding, that's no longer really happening here so much at all. Or actually, that never really did happen here.
Well, I think the reason there's so many good-looking Mormons is because they reproduce with approximately 5 wives apiece. So that kind of ties into Moore's Law, where he did a study, Gordon Moore, and he discovered that integrated circuits double every year in the number of components per integrated circuit. So you were talking about how things increase, right, with Moore's Law? Moore's Law?
Yeah. Not just but increase. It's the rate of change, basically. It could be good change. It could be bad change. But the technology that we all use right now can be the one that kills us. They've already got technology that would scare you to death, but it's possible. It's there. The math is there. Everything's already done. But if you knew about it, it would scare you. But that's where we're at now. We're about 50 years behind of actual technology.
Yeah. And
remember
my phrase?
50 years behind of technology.
Now, remember
exactly.
My phrase? The phrase that I said that some people will never be successful no matter what they do. And this shows that 60% of the men are not going to reproduce no matter what they do. Yeah. Hey, this is 60% of the men. That's a high percentage, you know. So, you know, my
are you looking for a donor? Are you looking for a donor?
No, but my fact, I'm talking about the 50% of men. I'm talking about those men out there, you know what I mean? I'm speaking for those guys out there, you know what I mean? And what I'm trying to say, my statement proves more real than ever now. That, you know, some people will not be successful no matter what they do, you know?
We need to start a foundation called Save the Males.
All right.
Yeah, but Albert, that's what you've been talking about since I've known you, is the fact that there is an inherent discrimination. So what you just postulated is something that you've been saying all along. I would assume you say that all along.
I never talked about that percentage wise and whatnot, but that phrase, I repeated the phrase again because, I mean, it goes in comprehension what I was saying.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question. Maybe with new reproduction trends, we're producing 10% of the population who become mass murderers.
No, it's not that. It's your nutrition. Let me go back. I'll just say it one time this show.
Okay, so if I eat five bags
nutrition.
Of Cheetos, I'm going to kill somebody
no,
in a month?
You're going to kill off your DNA. You're killing off your the way that your DNA wraps around itself, the way that it changes your the oxygen levels and the way that your neural synthesis, your neural pathways interact with each other and how your brain works. That's all what it is. If you eat six bags of Cheetos a day, if you drink two damn diet Pepsis a day, if you eat, four candy bars a day, you know, you're getting diabetes, you're getting kidney problems, you're getting all kinds of mental issues, Alzheimer's and shampoo, you know, your deodorants that you use are going into the most sensitive glands you got in your armpits, on your
right,
for
everything.
Your external exposure. So everything that you've got.
Everything, the color.
Let's talk about murders. Let's talk about murders. Okay, all mass murderers seem to be men, right? All mass murderers, right? Well, what about...
No.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that the mass murderer women are.
Actually, a woman just killed two kids in Texas.
I'm talking about mass murders that pull out a gun. Who are your nurses?
Who are your teachers?
I'm talking about mass murders that pull out a gun and just go crazy and start shooting people.
It depends how you define mass murder. Because abortions would be a huge number, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about those mass murders.
Collectively.
Those are all
men. You guys are getting into heavy crap.
Stuff that you don't want to hear.
Are we going to talk about... I mean, let's just start with this question. Why would a 26-year-old want to kill 27 parishioners at a church?
Because he was...
Yeah, the text.
He wanted his name in the paper. He wants death by police, death by suicide.
Well, why can't he just kill one?
We had Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof killed 9. You got all kinds of bombers killing 4 and 10 and 25. Every Sunday, somebody's dying in church. What are you talking about, Jane?
Well, let's talk about
something.
Better
than dying in an alley.
What about if that reproduction, like the whole thing flipped on backwards on men and women, and you know there was actually 80% of men reproducing and only 40% of women reproducing, and everything flipped out, like, you know, instead of a girl asking a guy out, girls ask guys out, and all that, everything just flipped over backwards. Would that mean also that instead of the massive gun shooters, instead of being men, will turn out to be women?
Well, I don't think there's many cross-dressers.
Albert, this is – okay, go ahead, Jane. I mean, this is entitlement.
I don't really know what he's – I actually don't really know what he's trying to say. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No. I'm trying to say the mass murders that pull out guns and start shooting people, you know,
yeah.
from what I've seen.
But that's privilege. But that's privilege. You don't see any Hispanic mass murderers who don't have a reason for it. If they want to get their cartel on top of another cartel, but you're not going to see Hispanic mass murders.
Don't put it past them.
You're not going to see black mass murders. No, you're not going to see it. You're not going to fucking see any Mexican.
It's only dumb white people, right?
Have you watched any documentaries on the drug war?
How about the Boko Haram in Nigeria? They're mass murderers.
I said that's over in Africa. They're trying to learn. They're learning the ways of death. They already know. They went through apartheid, Jane. Anyway, Ben, this is that they're not going to be mass murderers, the Hispanics. The blacks aren't going to be mass murderers. You're not going to see
We're not really saying
blacks. I just made a joke about whites. I wasn't trying to point the finger at blacks.
But the people who are mass murderers are entitled. They think that they have the right to just pull out their AKs, you know,
that's
23
that's
of them.
That's not true. That's not true. Not only.
According to
the stunts that we talked about, United Food Company last week, they were felt entitled. What?
According to the mainstream media, if you murder people, right, and you're Mexican, you must be a drug dealer. If you're black, you must be a gangster. If you're white, you must be mentally ill. And if you're Middle Eastern, you must be a terrorist.
Good point.
You're right. That's because you don't get very many choices when the media is the one telling you. They give you those options to think about. And
right,
that's what I was saying. Why you're wrong in saying that is that what you're talking about, what the media will tell you.
Man.
You're talking about what the media tells you and acting like that's the only way that things happen. If the media went nuts every time,
let him finish, Don.
Ben,
let him finish,
Don.
If you look at the statistics on mass murders, as Albert delineated, the mass murders are predominantly white people.
Not necessarily, because you're talking about statistics that are specific to our country.
I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about fucking America here, Ben.
Okay, just across our border, there's mass murders that go unnoticed by our media. Like that's what I'm talking about. Like where a whole
cartel
town will be made where an entire town will be made an example of.
Are you talking about Mexico?
Yeah.
You heard me say the caveat. Or you heard me say the caveat of that was unless they want to establish territories for their drug cartel.
And I'm talking about the individual because it still takes people to do the thing that you order them to do. They're doing it for the cause.
Well, in Cambodia,
they only
kill their own.
They're told.
But these mass murders are not groups of people I mean, they are if you talk about the mafia and stuff like that, but they're not. They're individuals. A lot of times they just have fringe interests in some of these organizations, but primarily they're just out there as lone wolves. They don't have any reason to do this except that they want to be immortalized, and that's the best way to do it. The best way to be immortalized, if you're not the president of the United States, is to be a mass murderer. Everybody, your name is on everybody's lips.
Charming.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, and there's big evil people out there, but the media will only show you, yeah, Kim Jong-un's evil, Saddam Hussein evil, Gaddafi, yeah, it's evil, you know, and they will throw that at you again and again. But there's plenty of other evil people that don't work.
Different.
You know, and I'm talking
right.
about other evil leaders, you know.
Right, that's dictatorial. Now, I'm talking about these people who are out here with these mass murders. If you think like that, Ben, then you won't even worry. You shouldn't even, you know, you with that kind of mindset, you don't even worry about the mass murders. They just happen. You know, everybody murders everybody, and that's close. If you don't want to look at the statistics, then don't look at the statistics. Just keep on.
Well, I usually say I try to verify statistics, and just about every statistic that comes on the news can be basically debunked. Like, how did you get those numbers? You didn't ask everybody. You asked a specific number of people, a specific question.
Look at the news. You call and you talk to your police department. You talk to your universities. You get the research study information. You get survey information. You develop white papers. You do what has to be done to understand exactly where the numbers are and exactly which units are committing which, I won't say crimes, but, you know, just do what whatever position they're in. People have to dig. People have to dig. And when you dig and you talk about mass murder in that context, you see very few mass murders on just without territorial reasons, without the desire to claim territories. If you just see random acts of violence, that's going to be on the white man. That's his modus operandi. That's his MO. That's the way he lives. That's his, you know, and it's sad. We, like I said, we can't hate it.
What's
when
the
we
point?
Don't understand it. You can't understand it.
Every culture, every society, every country, there's killers. America has
the
most.
I'm talking about land acquisition.
Except for Russia, who persecutes their own people.
Territorial acquisition, those are different. There's a reason for people doing that. And you can.
Well, nobody in Scandinavia kills each other.
Yes,
and
they
they're
do.
White.
Oh, yes, they
nobody?
Do. Oh, yes.
Okay,
they do. Sweet,
I'm going to look it up while you're jabbering.
Well, let's look at the the most happy countries, like, you know, Sweden, or countries that have, you know, kind of
not
violent.
Hey, Albert, Iceland's not even happy, so keep quiet.
Well,
no, let's
not
talk about
racial
divide. I don't want to talk about racial divide again every single night.
Let's talk about nationalism and sedition then, because is that the right word?
Okay.
Catalonia.
I just want.
Catalonia
tried to
break off. What do
you guys think the top two countries are? What's the top four countries for murder rates, and it's not the U.S.?
Honduras.
Just take number one, Honduras. Number two, El Salvador. Number three, Lesotho. Number four, Jamaica. The first two are 84.6. Honduras, 84.6 murders per every 100,000.
I got a question.
You wonder why people want to immigrate. You wonder why they want to immigrate.
Is Honduras a gun-free zone? Just curious.
I believe it is.
Hell no.
Oh,
what
how's
do
that
you
work?
Mean?
I don't know about. So there, I don't know about. I don't think El Salvador
have
El Salvador.
Except the civilians.
Honduras
civilians
has the highest rate of firearm-related deaths in the world. U.S.
Yeah, but
isn't
the,
even
the
in
guns
the top
are illegal.
25.
The carrying the civilians.
Guns are illegal, right?
I think guns are illegal.
South America holds.
James,
South America holds four out of the top six places. Yes,
right, and you know, no, look that up. See if guns are legal or illegal in Honduras. I know in El Salvador, you know, a lot of the largest groups of immigrants from South America are from leaving violent, gun-ravaged countries. Like Guatemala, El Salvador, San Salvador, those are Honduras. Those are the places that are really bad. So yes,
so
I can understand.
So that's actually my point about immigration. That's my point. Like one of my biggest points is that the left can manipulate people that they let in. So they can pull in people that they want and basically make them vote how they want them to. And what the left wants is
well,
to
that's
disarm
kind
the
of
United
controlling.
States. Well, if you look into it, it happens. But if you look at the most evil, darkest parts of the left, they want to do what they've done in every other culture, disarm the population, and then basically control everything about you. That way, if you start dying off, nobody can uprise about it, and you just kill off whatever number of people that you need to kill off.
But see,
and all these
well,
people are immigrating from places. People are immigrating from the violent places that already did away with the guns. So the only guns that are shooting are illegal ones and the government. So if you don't trust the gangs or the government, you're screwed. But then why come here and vote to take the guns away?
And that's the immigrants' conundrum, is that they're
exactly.
Where they're used to something and then they're coming to a place where the opposite is true. But, you know, what you are missing, and you're right on again for a second time today, I'm surprised. No, I'm just kidding. Is that they the immigrant
you're,
has the
you're
chance
something
to
else.
Say, no, they have what was I going to say? They have a chance to, oh, they are looking for that freedom from guns. You know, it's just that they don't know how to live without it. And so that's what their conundrum is. But the thing is that when you come out...
Well, that should not be my conundrum. I mean, that's my point, is that that shouldn't be my conundrum at all. It could be theirs if they want it. But that shouldn't be my problem at all. Why should I have to stand up to keep something that's already documented that's one of the inalienable rights of the way our country was started? We have inalienable rights to defend ourselves, and people that come in and vote how they're told to vote can ruin that in a democratic society.
You're missing that the Republican, the other side, the Republican Party is looking for the same thing. They're just not saying it. And one of the main reasons they're not saying it is because they're a perfect vehicle for employment. For slavery. They're the perfect middle person. Again, deception everywhere. Everyone's talking about everything else. And the employment, work, slave mentality is going strong. So that's why, you know, they're not saying anything about, you know, that's why they're in their conundrum. Because they can't deny that the immigrant is an integral part, if not the most integral part of American life, the American way of doing things, their work ethic, business ethic, governmental ethic. This is how they work. The immigrant comes in, works for cheap, virtually nothing, happy as hell because they've got something. They're out of the places where the guns are being fired all the time. And they're working and they're thinking that they're viable parts of the society. And that they, you know, everybody, once they start getting that, they should start feeling too comfortable. They get into their habits. And the Republicans are trying their best not to let anything obstruct that, come in the middle of that. So what you're saying wasn't, it's right, but it wasn't complete. Both parties.
Well, that's what worries me. That's why I'm not fully bonded to a certain party, is because I know that there's leadership on both sides that would like to do the same exact thing.
Right.
So I don't put myself fully. I'm not a one color kind of person. I'll look and I'll point out the bad things I see, no matter what their party is. And I think more people should do that. If you look at somebody's actions and not just listen to their campaign, you look at their actions, and if they do exactly the opposite of what you want, call them out.
And that's what we have to do. That's what Donald Brazil is finally saying. I want my life. I want to live. And I know that, if I don't call people out, the best way, the best security is to be extremely open and transparent. That's why when you see in the movies, which nobody should look at, please do not look at television ever again. I've been trying to tell everybody about the way that Hollywood worked, and nobody would listen to that either. But anyway, the best thing for security is to be out in a public place. You want to meet people who are detrimental to be a danger.
That's what's under attack.
In public places. Because you don't
public places are under attack right now.
Yes, but it's still public. It doesn't matter where you die. If you have evidence of where you died, it's better than having no evidence of where you died. So, there's just it's for everybody, forensics, the cops, the journalists who are going to write your autobiography when you're dead. There's no better place, a better place to die in the open than it is to die in private. So, you want to be there, and public places are still far more. It's like the car and the airplane theory. If you're scared of airplanes, you're stupid as fuck. Because cars are far more dangerous. It's the same argument, that's where we're at in a lot of things. But I'm going to be making sure, as I said, I was instrumental not at the forefront of passing the ERA here in Nevada. So we've got the Equal Rights Amendment passed here. We need two more states, and it looks like that'll be my next crusade in the next couple of years. Is to make sure that women are considered equal and not three-fifths of a person, because we understand, that's where the tie is to minorities and the women.
Haven't you been around since the rights that were given back rightfully to women? They've been there for over 50 years. I mean, we're equal.
But they're not transcribed, first of all. And women, if that were the case, we wouldn't even be talking about women's rights issues, the right for women to choose. That's the stupidest oxymoron
Is it about the choice or about saving lives? Because I've heard both from the left. That's one that confuses the hell out of me, because the right to choose is basically what you're saying. And if you look at the numbers, who's the victims of that? If you want to get back to race, who's the biggest victim of that right to choose?
Oh, minorities by far.
I'd hate to go there, but that's true. And if you want to as many lives as you can, why wouldn't you even look at that?
Oh, man. Jeez Louise, that's the way it is. It'll change after time, but the Planned Parenthood, the whole choose thing, the whole reason that women are still trying to fight for their phantom rights that you claim that they got 50 years ago, which they didn't get, and they're telling you, but you're not listening. But the bottom line is that the whole reason for everything is to suppress the minorities, particularly Indians and blacks. Planned Parenthood was created to stop the proliferation of black children. That's the whole point for the education.
Well, here's the thing about abortion.
That's the whole point.
You guys talking about it.
For everything, Ben, everything is to stop the minority.
And here's the thing about abortion, because in the future, the technology...
You're voting for it.
To look at your baby and to see if your baby's going to be gay or if your baby's going to be a man or woman before they even goes into the primary status or, you know, or the first trimester or whatever, you know what I mean? If you can see if it's going to be a boy or a girl, or if it's going to, like, or get an idea how tall it's going to grow, or, you know what I mean, just by looking at the new technology and then decide, you know what, I'm going to get an abortion. Oh, this baby looks like it's going to be gay in the future. I'm going to get an abortion for any other dumb reason. You know, now you just get an abortion for any reason. And, you know, the abortions that people choose to get seem to be really meaningless. And just, you know, just to kill off a kid, they could have probably been off a lot better, you know, if they would be brought in.
Well,
what exactly is the topic?
Well, they were talking about the left of abortion, of them, and then the right was against abortion, So, yeah,
okay,
I
have a question for you guys.
And the Republicans are against abortion.
And it's still a problem for me, too. It's hard for me to sit there and judge when I'm not even a woman. But as far as scientifically, that is a heartbeat. And I would hate to be put in that position as a father of somebody, because I know there's thousands of positions of fathers that have to look at their daughter that's just been raped and is pregnant, and I would hate for that situation to be even close to me. So I can't sit there and just judge one way or the other hard line, but just from my point of view, saving a life is basically, there's a life within a life. So it's basically you're choosing that no, there isn't.
Well, you know, I would compromise, and I would say, you know, if the woman got raped, then she should be able to pick to choose if she wants to get an abortion, as long as it's an early stage. But
yeah, that's 100% her choice. I mean,
get raped and had sex, even if it's protected or unprotected, doesn't matter. She has sex either way. Then she must lose her right to have an abortion.
That's a really tough decision, but I think it would be 100% her decision, because it wasn't consensual at all. There wasn't a two-party consent at all. So she would have 100% of her own choice on something like that, I would think.
Yes, and as long as that, but if she had sex, if she willingly has sex, then she should not be allowed to have an abortion if willingly. So if a girl's going to have an abortion, she should have the paperwork she should have the police report of her being raped and to be able to have the abortion. If she does not have that paperwork, the police report, and that means that she had sex willingly and she should not be allowed to have an abortion.
It's a tough call. That's a debate that I can't even if I would actually sound like I would win that, it's not one I would even want to win, because there's no way to win that debate. You can never be in somebody else's shoes, even if you're a woman talking about that. You can't be in the next woman's shoes. And that's where I have my own opinion, but I could never say I'm right over somebody else.
If you chose to have sex, then you lose your choice to have an abortion. But if you didn't have choice to have sex because you were raped, then you should have your choice to have an abortion. It's either that. To have sex or not have sex. If a woman had sex on her own free will, then she did it. She was being irresponsible. She did it. She knew the risk she was taking when she had sex. She took the risk anyways. So therefore, she should lose her right to have an abortion. Simple as that.
Country hasn't been able to agree on what's moral, what's right and wrong, what's responsible. I mean, irresponsibility has been rewarded a lot with our tax system. You don't have to be responsible to be rewarded. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to change. It's like ruining our economy, because now we have offices full of people that divert mass amounts of tax money to people that shouldn't be getting it. And I'm not just being rude. I know there's a lot of people that do need a hand up. But I've seen firsthand the amounts of money. I mean, the building itself, the property it's on, the people that sit there and work and designate who gets money here and there. It goes everywhere from unemployment to, you know, retirement to VA, and all of the benefits of single mothers that we give away a lot of tax money. And it's not just to the people, it's to the people that work there also. People retire off of doing that a lifetime.
Nine out of 10 of them are women getting welfare, because men to get welfare is really hard. It's mostly women getting that welfare.
Right. So we're not exactly equal. We're equal under the law, basically. There's things that will never be equal. And it would be ridiculous to try to prove that they are even hard to define.
That's even something that's hard to define.
It is, because it's trying to put that into a box, and you can't.
All I know is we've been evolving to different things tonight. My favorite topic was science. And I am at work, and we are kind of going through a medical crisis here, and we've been on the air 75 minutes, so I think we should wrap it up with our conclusions now. Are you guys ready tonight?
All right.
It looks like Ben has a full – he's going to be working 60 to 80 hours this week too, so John will be calling in the future. I don't know why he didn't make it tonight, but – who wants to go first with a conclusion?
Well, I'll do that, and then I'll get to work, because I'll be working for a couple hours tonight. I'm heading to Vegas tomorrow with our labor. It's going to be a retreat conference, and I'll be there until Wednesday. So bottom line,
cool.
I got to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, you guys, we're all talking about kind of the same thing, only with different language. And that's what has to be rectified. There is no, we should do that, we should do this, we better. We all know pretty much in our hearts what needs to be done. Some of us have to open our eyes and not give complete blind allegiance, Jane, to everybody who is in the forefront and who you like, because a lot of people who you like are the most
I
didn't say anything.
I've been opening my eyes for over a year.
Oh, gosh. You haven't been listening to me for over 32 years. But anyway.
John Fitzgerald Johnson warned us, do not vote for the two-party system.
No, you don't. But that's why I'm developing the Gallimore G Fusion Party, the Gallimore Family G Fusion Party. Keep it in mind, it's going to be viable for.
That sounds way too much like Fusion GPS.
No, it's too well.
Think?
Too bad. I've already got a business licensed and everything. We're going to get the LLC and be able to offshoot some C3s, C4s, and just jump off into being a major player in the United States. Because since we're here, we're going to be here. I've got 5 kids and 7 grandkids, and I assume they're going to have kids, and my Gallimore name is going to keep going on. and it's not going to be, you know, there, I'll be marching forward with my Gilmore family G-Fusion party much farther into the future than all of these minority majorities that are going to be coming through here. And that relates to what I wanted to say as my conclusion is that it's imperative that men more or less be women, be men, and women be women. And no matter how you feel naturally, just in the genes and in the way that the human being is built, it's necessary for man to release his sperm, his seed, into an egg, a womb, you know, and that's just the natural part of things. And it's an obligation and a right for the strong to take care of the less strong. And that's what I wanted to say. Donna Brazile did a great job. You know, like I said, my mom was black, first black police woman in the state of Wisconsin, so I know how strong black women can be. And we're at a crossing point. That's why I say I'm going to be taking my ERA to two other states to see if we can ratify them. Two other states ratify it. It'll become a constitutional amendment, unlike what Ben is talking about. Somebody fucking jerk space Arkansas said, well, I think white women are pretty much equal. You know, we don't have to do that. We'll have it official. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do.
I'm not from Arkansas.
I don't know. Okay, Washington then.
Don, you can't always divide things on racial lines.
I don't try to. Ideally, I like I said, I got white kids. I've got no problem with it. I'm an equal opportunity.
How could you
fucker?
How's that possible?
What do you mean?
Yes, how's that possible?
How's that possible?
That's why you're going to be in a majority minority soon, too. How's that possible?
Well,
I had babies with white women.
You called them white kids.
Yeah, now you know about them.
They're mulatto.
He has one white kid that he bore out of wedlock.
And that's what I know of. Just have one that I know of. I've had a couple of white ladies who have pretty much one of them.
I just think it's funny how you just put an easy label like that, just throwing it out there.
Well, okay, I'm
mulatto.
Yeah. I'm thank you for the correction. I have
biracial.
I don't care how you call it. You know, to me is, you know, I'm my kids are my kids. I love my kids no matter what race they are or what where they came from. You know.
So that's kind of it's just okay. I'll flip that around just to see where.
They came from
so
me.
You can exactly. See what I'm saying is I'll flip that around. Say I know a white person that had a child with a black person.
Right.
So is it wrong for him to say he has a black kid?
No, they would say that he is. The white you're not getting it, still, Ben, and you will never get it.
What I'm trying to say is that there's not such a hard line. It's not an easy hard line for you to draw between you and me.
It is because it's your nomenclature. It's the white man's nomenclature. When he talks about white and black and all this stuff, that's his nomenclature. We don't see that. We see people. Black people see black people. They see their variations of races. They see all kinds of things that
you
white
just said.
See.
You have a black kid,
Right, and that's because every white
person. I wouldn't draw that hard of a line. I would just say I have a kid. I mean, that's putting politics on your kid.
Well, who cares, Ben? Who really cares what the nomenclature? We don't care about the nomenclature. We don't care who says what about what. It's out there. It's there, so we have to use it in its context. If you've ever heard
Okay,
if you've heard any of our previous shows, you'll always hear me saying that Obama was half, we have a half black president. Jane, tell him. I always say.
Well, on that basis, I couldn't. On that basis, I could not vote for your party.
That Albert talk too.
Why not? My party doesn't.
I could not vote on your party whatsoever with that kind of ideology. I would not do it.
Which part of the ideology? Because there are several parts of ideology I mentioned there. Which one is disturbing to you?
The hard line, the politics between races is what I can't do. I cannot handle that. I would not vote for somebody that will use that with politics because that's unconstitutional.
Well, here's the problem.
Literally.
Even voting is hard. I mean, look at the electoral election. The electoral election, it's complicated as hell. It's got all these districts split up, you know, gerrymandering. And even when you vote in the primary election and for the main election, you know, you have all these different states that, you know, some prefer to be a caucus state for voting, you know, and which is hard for, you know, if you want to be and I'm saying this because, you know, you're speaking as an independent, because as an independent voter, it's hard to even vote, you know, for the person that you like, you know. You have to pledge yourself to a party if you like somebody, you know what I mean? And you can't always be independent, which sucks. You know, I think, you know, there should be some new, the electoral college system should be overhauled and allow for independent voters to be able to vote more freely.
Yeah, that's true. I would not listen to any of the message after I knew that somebody was using race as a downfall or an advantage. Care. Either of the two.
Sir,
I don't care. I don't want pity, and I don't want an advantage.
You're
because
so far,
of race.
You're so far over the top. It's not even funny with that comment.
IQ, maybe.
No. The thing is that this, even though this has everything to do with race, it doesn't have anything to do with race. What it is that it's a factual realization at confronting what the system, the reality of the system is. That's what is happening. That's what people like maybe yourself or people who have fear or guilt or whatever the case may be are looking at, because
either of the two.
But the answers are, but you still have to gain answers of what all of we've been saying.
Let me put it this way towards the party that he's talking about and other parties, because no party is perfect. And I know on a lot of parties, like the Democrats, Republicans, the Green Party, and then there's the Libertarians. And then there's also the Independent Party, there's the Socialist Party, there's the American Party, and many other parties I can name. And I know I looked at a lot of different parties, and there's the Reform Party, by the way, you know what I mean, and the Constitution Party, and many other parties. But none party that I looked at has been perfect in many of my views.
Right, and to kind of, I don't want to get too deep into it with Don. We've kind of exchanged a little bit, but right now, I'll say it's a good time for the left to turn on itself, because the right is having a lot of infighting, and I'm totally speaking from nowhere of the two right now. I'm just looking from an outsider looking at the right and left. Okay, I see the left turning. If I see the left turning on itself, literally like ratting each other out for their own safety. And I also see the right trying to form groups. And that's really not a trait of the right, because
if
I won't get into the psychology, but there is majorities of similar mindsets. between the right and left. So the right is forming into these groups, and the right is forming groups, and they're having infighting right now. The left is turning on itself. So it's basically equal right now.
Now, here's the thing about the left and right wing, you know, in America, you know, they say, yeah, you know, you can't, the eagle can't fly without his left and his right wing. You know, you need both left and right wing to fly, you know. And need the left side and you need the right side. And, you know, and here's the thing. Cause, yeah, sure, the left side would be the Democrats. And if you go far too left, you're a socialist. And then the right side would be like the Republicans, right? And if you go all the way to the right, you're an anarchist, you know? And so
you're a fascist, you know, basically.
An anarchist. Anarchist is like no government all the way to the right. All the way to the left is way too much government, and you're a communist, basically, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
So you can't go all the way to the left, too much government, and all the way to the right, no government, no rules whatsoever, you know what I mean? So that's anarchist to the right and communist all the way to the left. And then there's, you know, a little bit strong to the left, it's like socialism, you know, and then, of course, the Democrats are viewed a little bit to the left, and the Republicans are a little bit, you know, and the Green Party, they're on the left side, and the Libertarians are on the right side too, you know. And there's many, like the Reform Party, they're on the right side. The Constitution Party, they're on the right side. Many other parties are on the right side. There are very few parties that are on the left side. But of course, we all know the two major parties, the most powerful ones, are the Democrats and Republicans. They're the only ones that win.
That's true. But I remember in my... in high school, they showed us a graph of what the scale that you're talking about. They showed both ends of it, but right in the middle was the right and left. And I know exactly what you're talking about. They showed exactly where they overlap each other and how close together they actually are. And I think they've actually kind of drifted apart because the fringe has gained more majorities. They're pulling away from each other, and we've basically been flying with a broken wing for a while.
Well, I think the left and right is a deceiving, and it's wrong, and it's kind of like a false statement, which is kind of trying to confuse us. Because I think even though we're supposed to believe that a Republican's on the right and a Democrat's on the left, well, you know what? I think they're both on the left, because either way, when a Republican or a Democrat is the president, it doesn't even matter who's president or not, Democrat or Republican. They both have way too much government anyways, with the massive surveillance, you know, Big Brother, you know, and also our police state, you know, funding, you know, tanks and whatnot, and either way, you know, so it doesn't even matter. You know, we still have an over-surveillance country.
Right. And that was basically brought on by...
I have to go now, so... Can we do the conclusions, please?
Yeah, the conclusions. Let's do that.
I guess... I don't really want to say anything, but go ahead, Ben or Albert.
Go ahead, Albert.
I would repeat again... That, you know, again, because it's a true fact that, you know, some people that are running for president or, you know, or even prime minister or even, you know, local elections, you know, like state or whatever, you know, most people just don't realize that, you know, when they're talking to the people, they have to understand the people, and they have to understand that some people, no matter what they do, they'll never be successful. So we have to understand how screwed up and messed up the system is, you know. And I'm not talking about capitalism at all. I mean, communism and all the other things are messed up too. But our capitalism was supposed to be, a freedom of a free market, or freedom of will, and all this fancy stuff that you know, democracy and all this stuff. But it's more like a kleptocracy or
monarchy, you know, I mean, the words that they call it, you know, corporatocracy.
Oligarchy.
Oligarchy. And
no,
all these,
what we've got right now is a kakastocracy.
Yeah.
We've got it. We're done.
It's called
the
cacophony. Cacophony.
Yeah,
it's
but
C-A-C.
K-A-K-O-S-T-O-Christy. It's K-A-K. So,
need the damn definition.
It means a dumbass running the country. That's a kakistocracy where everything's all of them chaos. K-A-K-O-S-T-O-C-R-A.
I was thinking of a musical, Corn. A musical term,
yeah,
cacophony, which means a harsh, discordant mixture of sounds.
Right.
That's what we could define. We could
and
define our radio show that way.
Yeah.
No,
We're basically like in our prime state, you know, back in the dark ages, you know, when kings and queens, they ruled everything no matter what, you know, they had a rule over you. And the word is still today. I mean, that slavery still exists. I mean, it's called private prisons. And, you know, many of the shit still exists in different forms. So you're looking at, you know, many centuries of the same bullshit in a different way.
Amen.
Well, I guess my conclusion would be, that since we already know what gives us the biggest problems, we should vote for people like us. So I guess I'm going to be on the lookout for lower middle class hardworking people that are the highest taxed and that would actually go into office knowing what it's like to basically work your whole life just to put food on the table. And they would have it fresh in their minds when they get to office what makes those people's lives that they used to be a living hell. So they would actually go there and basically deconstruct everything that gave them such misery and be able to move forward actually successfully. Not, I mean, we're born behind. We're born like with debt attached to us. So we work all these hours for
Jesus.
What? To pay back something, we pay back some bad deals that happened before we were born. And people like us that actually work a lot, we can realize that when we see that in somebody else. So I think we should be on the lookout for people running for office who've been there and struggled.
Or even people that can struggle to be a puppet.
Did you say we were born with dead tissue on us?
I said we were born with debt attached to us. Debt.
Oh.
D-E-B-T.
I thought you said dead tissue.
No, that,
no,
that too, but,
I
mean,
didn't.
When you're born, you start dying. You know that too. But the bottom line is
well,
that.
Well, Don's 61, so he's got a lot of dead tissue.
Oh, yes, especially.
Oh, wait.
You're anyway,
62, I forgot.
62. But everybody's born with $63,000 in debt.
I'm going
right,
to die
so if you
union.
Become a millionaire.
With union wages.
If you become a millionaire, then you've done your job.
Yeah, I'm going to get some big loans before I die.
Yeah, max out those credit cards for your kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to occupy the...
Oh, you probably won't have kids because you're a male.
The Pentagon.
Yes, exactly. I'm in that 60%.
Huh.
Well, I'm going to, you guys, let's talk about it next week, the debt issue versus the dead tissue. And by the way,
man.
look up the, I'm going to die a union wage member. Anyways,
Christmas
look up
is,
Yuri.
Christmas is coming up. I'm going to get you a hearing aid for Christmas.
That's my grits. I'm going to California for Christmas. Thank you.
Lightly
I was trying to think of a bad joke. I'm going to wallpaper you're doing finishing jobs for a real estate agent. I'm going to mail you donkey wallpaper for the Democratic Party.
I'm a little above that, that price line there. I'm not in the wallpapering business. Textures are low as I go.
If you ever run for president, I'm going to gerrymander you to hell.
Okay,
well,
Don.
Good. I'd hope somebody.
Don, if you have any more, Don, if you have any more kids, the proper term is biracial, not mulatto. You're dating yourself, old man.
No, that's I've had 4 biracial abortions. So, and when biracial.
Well, please don't say that on the air, for God's sake.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are scared. So scared of the truth.
I'm gonna be like Cheryl Teagues and have a baby at 57. I'm hanging
you
up now.
You haven't had any abortions, Don.
To pick the 40% that can impregnate you, that's all.
You've had one abortion, Don. I'd be willing to bet that you've never had an abortion.
I've never had one. No, I've never had one personally, but I've had some beautiful ladies who have been willing.
There's an ordinance in Washoe County that Gallimore can't produce anymore. Okay, we'll talk about everything else.
You
next
have
week.
To register as a. You have to get a small arms permit when you go there.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I keep saying this. That's exactly what happened. That's why they kicked me out of two states, and the only reason I'm here is because I spoke up. I said, I'm not going. I'm not leaving.
He doesn't need a firearms permit because he shoots only blanks now.
They're not blanks. They're still live fire.
I doubt that. Okay, I'm hanging up. Good night. If you want to keep talking, you can, but I'm going upstairs to watch Gossip Girl. Good night.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, children.